Rangers. McNabb stepping in for the Knights. He scores! Walked right out in front. And Braden McNabb, you read his lips, he just said wow himself. Eakin on the right sidewall, coming up to the slot. Lots of room. Eakin shoots and scores! Second goal of the game for Cody Eakin. Right circle, Schmidt threw it across the net mouth. In front, stop, another try, score! Tatar! Reeves in the right side to the right circle. Centering feed, the shot, they score! Belmar fires from between the circles. Marchessault peels off on the right wing near side. To the slot, he shoots, he scores! Marchessault! 4-3 Knights! Vegas wins in overtime!
And welcome in. Good Wednesday to you, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Wallace, Chris Chapman, all in studio. And the countdown is on. Guys, we are getting closer and closer to Vegas Golden Knights Hockey Season 2, but a lot to get to before that, including a little rookie face-off they have coming up.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. I personally cannot wait to see some of the young guns for the Vegas Golden Knights going up against some of the young guns for a lot of the teams that are going to be in the division, because it gives you a really good idea in the next 3 to 8 years what the competition on the ice is going to be. It will be at City National Arena. It opens up Saturday, September 8th. They play on the 9th and then also on the 11th.
And what will be fun is to see some of the looks on the faces of the kids from Colorado or San Jose or L.A. that may have gone through their development camp with about 25 people in the stands to see a packed, charged house.
Yeah, and I expect that it will be packed for all those games. There's going to be 3 games each day for people to watch. The Vegas Golden Knights, I believe, play the final game on each one of those days. And the last one being that Tuesday. Right now we're working on maybe doing the show out there, getting ready for that game. So that should be fun and exciting. And by the way, remember, we're about to talk with George McPhee. We had a chance to catch up with him earlier today. But one of the things that McPhee likes to talk about is how he believes in overcooking young players instead of undercooking them. So if you want to see Cody Glass and Nick Suzuki and Nick Hague and Eric Branson and some of the other youngsters out there, it might behoove you to make your plans to go over there now, because you may not see them unless they're walking around in a suit during the playoffs or something like that. You might not see them at the T-Mobile this year.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And any chance you get to kind of familiarize with yourself with these players is a good opportunity. Just if you're a fan and you're interested and you want to go and you're having hockey withdrawals, get yourself there.
And it'll be fun to see these guys in actual competition. It was fun to watch them play each other, but the checking is at a minimum, and some of the rules aren't necessarily what you see in a regular game, but this will be the real deal.
Yeah, when the other jersey is not only a different color but also a different team, all of a sudden the physicality definitely picks up a little bit more.
Yeah, and just hope that we get at least 1 or 2 3-on-3 overtimes, because Eric Branstrom with all that open ice would just be electric to watch.
Now I think Nick Suzuki would be a lot of fun to watch
that
as well.
100%, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, well, we mentioned it earlier today. We had a chance to catch up with Vegas Golden Knights general manager George McPhee. He's out of town. I did not know that at the start, which will become very evident right at the start of the interview. But here is our conversation earlier today, this morning, with George McPhee. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Wallace, and joining us now, the GM of the team, Mr. George McPhee. George, how you doing today, and are you managing to stay cool this summer here in Las Vegas?
Well, I'm in Edmonton right now at a tournament, an 8-nation tournament that has all the best players from those countries who are eligible for the draft next summer. And it's the Hlinka tournament that's been moved from Bratislava over here to Edmonton for the first time. And Wayne Gretzky has his name on the tournament. And I guess to answer your question, it's freezing in the rink, so I've stayed cool. Yeah.
So one of the other things that you've stayed cool with over the off season is really kind of checking off all the boxes that you had going into next season. And one of those boxes was William Karlsson, getting a new contract for him. It was a 1-year, $5.25 million contract. And you talked about clarity, just kind of defining the player. What does William need to do next season in order to provide you with the clarity you're looking for?
Well, I think the issue is, is his performance last year, who this player now is. You know, is that what we can expect every year from William? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? When you're living in a cap world, in management, you have to be careful. If you overpay on contracts, it hurts your competitiveness. So what we're simply trying to do is figure out just exactly what we have in this player, and then whatever he is, that's what we'll pay. If he's a consistent 40-goal scorer, we'll pay it. If he's a 50-goal scorer, we'll pay it. If he's less than that, we'll pay it. So given that there's no history of this, we only have 1 year, we have to be a little bit careful. And the good news is he's willing to bet on himself as well. And we like that the players have that kind of confidence in themselves. We did offer longer-term deals, much longer-term, and he just wanted to another year to see if he could do this again, and if he does, obviously, it's a bigger payday.
So in the longer-term deals, did the player seem interested in also going long-term? Was it maybe just the average annual value, or was it the term length that just didn't gain traction there?
Yeah, I don't think it was an issue of length, and I don't, you know, want to get into too many details now. But the bottom line is, you know, we both felt that if we're not ready to do a long-term deal, if we can't have a meeting of the minds on a longer-term deal now, let's do a deal that makes sense for 1 year, and we'll get playing, and then after next season, hopefully get that that longer-term deal done. He would like that. We would like that.
Is it possible, because you mentioned the goal scoring, if he's a 40-goal scorer or a 50-goal scorer, maybe a little bit less, is it possible that he could maybe score a few fewer goals than this year but actually play better and outperform what he did last year? Maybe Marchessault gets a few more goals. Maybe he gets a couple more assists or something, because he is a full 200-foot player that can play penalty kill, power play, and the 5-on-5, 4-on-4, whatever you need for him. So he certainly has a lot going for him.
Yeah, he's a good player, and we like him a lot, and obviously that's why we've offered long-term deals. But all of that is to be determined, and time will tell. So we'll go to work next year and see what we can accomplish as a team, and hope that all individually guys play as well as they can, and then we'll put values on things, and we'll see. I don't have the answers right now. But hopefully this coming season will give us some clarity.
George, I think at least for the fan base, a lot of people were pleased that this deal got done before the arbitration date. How important was that to you guys to get this deal done prior to having to go into that process?
Well, we've never worried too much about arbitration. We've made it clear to the players because the players file. They're the ones that file for arbitration. If we have to go in, we're gonna try and get the right number. You're gonna try and get a different number, and what you think is the right number. So the process itself has never bothered me. And we went through it with Schmitty last year, and it wasn't much fun for him. But we had a good conversation afterwards, and it's over. I just think that the arbitration process itself helps you get a deal done. We're not going to have some sort of, it's not a holdout because he's not on the contract, but we're not going to have this impasse when the guy's not in training camp and that sort of thing. So that's where I think the arbitration process really helps, is just getting to the point where, you get a deal done. If it hadn't been done in a few minutes before the arbitration, we would have had a decision 48 hours later. And again, he's under contract.
Vegas Golden Knights general manager.
Which is what we want.
Oh, excuse me. Vegas Golden Knights general manager George McPhee joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, so William Karlsson is signed. It looks like the team is pretty much in place right now. Where is the team right now in your assessment of it, and how do you replace guys like James Neal and David Perron, who we wish all the best going forward, but they were a big part of this team, not only with what they did on the ice, but also their leadership on the ice and in the locker room?
Yep. Well, we've added Stastny, that we thought was an important move. to get a real quality center and someone that's good on faceoffs. And we like having lots of centers. We like that kind of versatility because you can always move people around when you have injuries or someone's not performing. Centers can move to wing, but you can't turn wingers into centers. And so we like that we have an abundance of centers. So we added him, and we're expecting other players to step up. You know, we believe that Tuck is ready to be a full-time second-line player. We believe Tatar will really play well for us next year once he gets comfortable. He had a tough year. He had a shoulder surgery last summer, and it affected his summer and affected his season. He wants to come back and be that 20 to 25 goal guy for us. So we think we have enough ammunition in-house to be a very good team. The defense is intact. The goaltending's intact. So we'll see how we do with this group. If there are opportunities, as we've always said, to add something along the way, we will. But, you know, you've got to make room for guys to grow. And Tuck is certainly a guy that we're ready for some growth. He had a good rookie season, but we think with his ability and his speed and his size that he could really score a lot more goals this year than he did last year.
George, you just mentioned the versatility of having a lot of centers, and one of the guys that kind of sprung to mind for me was Eric Halla and what he did as the second-line center for this team last year. And then you bring in Paul Stastny, you have Cody Eakin, you have Pierre-Edouard Bellemare, you've got a lot of center depth on this team. Where do you envision Eric Halla kind of fitting next season?
Well, he certainly can play center for us, and he can play the wing, and you know, that'll be determined in training camp. You know, our job is to find players and hand them to the coaching staff, and they try to make a team of it and decide who plays where. A team is always a work in progress and always under construction, and we'll just see where things go. And again, we'll let the players determine that for us. I thought Halla did a terrific job last year, and we like him a lot. We did have to change the second line from what it was last year because it wasn't, as second lines go, it wasn't good enough defensively. It produced, but the goals against per 60 minutes was not good enough. We were actually dead last second lines in the league. And you can either just sort of look the other way on that, or you can try and address it, and we're trying to address it.
George, you said that the team is always under construction. Lots of white-hot rumors at the beginning of the offseason regarding Erik Karlsson. Things seem to have cooled, at least on the rumor front. Is the door still open, and are you still looking to perhaps add a player?
Well, I certainly can't talk about players who are on other teams because – they're not our property. They belong to somebody else, so you have to be careful with respect to tampering and that sort of thing to be talking about players and other teams. I don't know what's going to develop going forward. I think things are very, very quiet at this time. We like the team that we have, and I don't anticipate any changes before training camp. And we'll get through camp and we'll start the season and see how we're doing, and we'll decide if we need to make any changes once we get going. But at this point, we like where we are.
George, you mentioned kind of after the Karlsson contract was announced that there might be an opportunity, or if there's an opportunity to bring in another forward, that you'd be open to that. What are you looking for in terms of bringing in another forward? Are you looking for maybe a higher end top six, or are you looking for maybe kind of a middle of the ground second, third line type player?
I'm not sure. It could be either. Again, it depends on what's out there and what the asking prices are. But again, I like having room to be able to maneuver and having a job up for grabs somewhere with the forward group. Certainly, you don't want to be looking for to fill those kinds of holes on the blue line or a net, because those are hard to fill. But the forward group is usually easier to address, and I'd rather have. I think it's healthy for a team to have some real good competition and people fighting for a job that might be open. And so, and again, we have versatility with our group. We can play. We have players that can play up and down the lineup. So, I'd like to see what it looks like before once we get going. Before we do anything, I like having the team in front of me. I'd rather do deals in season than in the summer. Just to see exactly what ingredients we might have to add, if any.
And then, really, last question from me is, we talked about the checklist, the off-season checklist. We've got Shea Theodore, who is right now unsigned. Kind of just an update on Shea Theodore and what you expect prior to training camp for him.
Well, we're hopefully have Shea under contract soon. We'll see how that goes over the next few weeks. He's in a unique position in that he doesn't have arbitration rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, where I believe arbitration really helps teams to get deals done. That isn't the case here. And so you don't have those pressure points to get the two parties really sharpening their pencils and getting the deal done. So this might be a little bit different, might take a little bit longer, but it's something that certainly he would like to have done and we'd like to have done, and we'll see where that goes over the next few weeks.
George, speaking of the young guys, are you going to kick the training camp off with the rookie showcase? As you go into those games, what are your goals for the players that are going to be a part of that, and what are you looking for?
Well, it's we're excited about this tournament. It's a great opportunity for us, and for lots of our fans to come in and see what we have in the pipeline and what other teams have in the pipeline. And so it's a great opportunity for us to monitor our players, especially for a manager. Rather than running all over the country this year watching some of our young guys to see how they're progressing, it's nice to have them all in one place on one team, playing against other players basically the same age. And so you get a good read on how they're developing and how they're performing. And, when you might be able to anticipate them making your own club, making the big club. So it's a great exercise to go through. And it's not only for the players, but for management. And you get a good look at the other team's pipelines and to see how they're doing. So it's a compact schedule. It's 3 games in 4 nights, and it's 3 games every day for our fans. For the first 2 days in the tournament, then day off, and then one more. We're hoping it's really successful and that we can continue to do it, because it sure seems like a lot of teams want to come to Vegas to be part of this tournament.
Well, George, we truly appreciate the time today making it for us here. Real quick, I would like to ask, when it comes to the rookie games coming up here in that camp, it is a very cool thing out there, but I know you're on record as saying that you think it's better to overcook young players than maybe undercook them a little bit. So if people want to see some of these youngsters, I'm thinking this might be one of their best opportunities this season to see the guys on the ice in competition against other teams.
Yep, that's a very good point. And again, it's our job, management, to make sure we develop players properly and to make sure they succeed. And you don't ever want anyone to fail because you rush them. So we're going to take our time with our players, and for our fans, this is a great opportunity to see them this season.
All right, George. Well, we really appreciate the time. Stay cool up there in the rinks, and look forward to seeing you back here in Vegas as you're looking out there at the rookie games, and the camp is right around the corner, and a lot of people chomping at the bit to see the Vegas Golden Knights in action once again. And we're certainly looking forward to season 2. Season 1 was great, but still a little bit of unfinished business.
Thanks very much for having me, gentlemen.
You got it. Thank you very much. George McPhee there. All right, and that is George McPhee. We got a chance to talk to him a little bit earlier today, and I thought there was some pretty insightful stuff there. We're going to dig into that a little bit and go over some of the stuff he talked about. But overall, for a guy who's known to not give too much, I thought he said some very interesting things.
That was nice to get a little bit of insight into what he thought of not just the upcoming team, but some reflections about what he thought perhaps went wrong with the team last year.
Yeah, and I know that we're going to get pretty in-depth on this in the next segment, but the stuff about the second line was interesting and very telling to me, because it's not necessarily just about production. It's not necessarily just about goal scoring and lighting it up and being productive offensively. It's also very much within Gerard Gallant's system about playing solid 200 feet, very good defensively. And that's something that George McPhee talked about specifically, and we're definitely going to break that down.
Yeah, and we would like to hear what you have to say about it as well, Clayton. They can hit us up on the text line.
Yeah, always interact with the show via the text line, brought to you by the Southern Hills Baptist Church, where inspiring music, helpful teaching, and friendly people will always make you feel welcome. Text us at 69187, preface with Fox. Don't forget to leave your name and let us know what you thought of George McPhee's thoughts on last year's team and the upcoming season.
All right, when we come back, we're going to go over some of those things, maybe play a couple of the quotes here and there to dissect them a little bit more, digging deeper into it here. It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. It's Wednesday on your station for the Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Wednesday on your station for the Golden Knights, Fox Sports. Frank Harness, Clayton Hamilton, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman, coming back with a little Seven Nation Army since George McPhee is up in Edmonton checking out the Eight Nation Tournament. I thought that might be interesting. By the way, that guy in the liner coming right back there, Riley Smith, he's going to have a little bit to say in what Mr. Carlson's contract will be looking like at the end of the season as well, because if he performs well, all that much better for Wild Bill, and no reason to think that they won't.
And Riley Smith, one of those guys that sort of gets overlooked sometimes in the success of that line, and you think about the end of the season when he was out with the injury and how they struggled a little bit with their identity, and he's really sort of that glue guy. Not going to show up as much on the stat sheet or the highlight reel, but does all of the right things to get Wild Bill and Jonathan Marchessault in the right spot.
Yeah, you look at Smith, good on both ends of the ice, good on both sides of the puck. He's kind of the setup guy. Really is fine to get more assists than he is goals, but he's the driver. He's one of the drivers. And you look at Jonathan Marchessault, he's a driver as well. He shoots from everywhere. He creates rebounds and offense ability for William Karlsson. So it'll be interesting to see how that line does with a year of chemistry under their belt.
Yeah, plus minus last year, absolutely every one of them were incredible, and all of them want to be 200-foot players, and I think they all achieved that goal last season. Now we'll see how that equates into coming into season number two. We're going to get to William Karlsson and his goal scoring and what George McPhee had to say about him, but guys, let's start it off right off the bat with what I thought was maybe the most interesting piece of that interview, or at least certainly one of them out there, talking about the second line. We mentioned to him and asked him the question, how do you replace guys like James Neal and David Perron? And, well, McPhee kind of made it sound like, well, it might not be all that difficult. Here's what he said about the second line last year.
We did have to change the second line from what it was last year. Because it wasn't, as second lines go, it wasn't good enough defensively. It produced, but the goals against per 60 minutes was not good enough. We were actually dead last second lines in the league. And
so there you have it. Second line, goals against, dead last in the league. We all like to think of Perron getting a bunch of assists during the season, James Neal having some big goals certainly at the start of the season. But basically, George McPhee saying, you know what, the second line, maybe not as good as some people thought.
And that was reflected in some of the moves, guys not brought back. You mentioned Perron and Neal. And then that begs the question, Ryan, of what is the future of Eric Howla? He was the third member of that line. He's coming back. We've heard George McPhee flirt with the idea of perhaps maybe a move from center to wing. You certainly have to think about Alex Tuck in the mix, Tatar, Stasny, all those guys maybe getting a shot at the second line.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one tell that gives you flat out is that Paul Stastny is going to be your second line center because he is very good defensively. He's good on both ends of the ice, and he can take faceoffs. He can be a key defensive forward. So if you're looking for just a better overall makeup of what a defensive second line would look like, Paul Stastny is likely going to slot in as your 2C.
You know, it's interesting, too, because, and again, some people say McPhee doesn't give you much, but I think he's been outgoing and telling us and answering our questions or whatever, and sometimes you have to read between the lines. I have to admit, I was a little bit surprised by that answer. When we threw the question out there, I kind of thought he was going to say, well, you know, you don't really replace him, but you try to find somebody else that fits into your scheme and everything. He kind of came out and said, look, I know a lot of people bought their jerseys and they like that line, but when you come right down to it, brass tacks and that, they didn't do what they were supposed to do last year.
And it shows how important defense is to the way Gerard Gallant uses his players. And you think about William Karlsson being on that top penalty kill unit paired with Riley Smith, and how many top line guys do you usually see on the PK, not like you do with the Golden Knights?
No, for sure. And again, if you commit to defense, it makes what you do on offense a lot easier. If you start with speed in your own zone and you're able to transition because you are solid defensively in your own zone, that lends better to playing Gerard Gallant's system and what he wants his team to do. So again, the more defensive responsibility you can have, the better. When you looked at David Perron, you looked at James Neal, you looked at Eric Halla, they got a lot of offensive zone starts because you had to protect them in that way. You couldn't start them in their own zone because they would never get out of their own zone. So again, I think this is George McPhee taking an honest look, regardless of how well the team did last year. It's taking an honest look at where the deficiencies were and trying to address them. I like what he said.
Yeah, I like what he said too, and I like that he was forthcoming about it and said, look, you know what? You guys asked me the question, I'm answering it, so good for George and some good information there. And I'm not sure how many people would have ever thought that it was the worst statistically goals against of any second line in the NHL. So it is a little bit telling. Well, there's certainly now some conversation about who will the second line be. A lot of people think it's going to be Stastny along with Alex Tuch and Tomas Tatar. Will that be it? Will it be Gerard Gallant? Is that what he's going to see? Remember last year we thought Shipachev was going to be on the first line. That didn't work out so well, but we'll see how things go in training camp. But one person that certainly George McPhee was very high on and we expect to see on that second line is Alex Tuch. And here's what George had to say about the youngster from Minnesota who certainly became one of the fan favorites last season.
We're expecting other players to step up. You know, we believe that Tuch is ready to be a full-time second-line player. You know, you've got to make room for guys to grow. And Tuch is certainly a guy that we're ready for some growth. He had a good rookie season, but we think with his ability and his speed and his size that he could really score a lot more goals this year.
You know, we talked about it all season long with Alex Tuch. It was kind of like from the development camp last season and seeing him come out and say he wanted to be part of it. We literally watched him grow from a young man into a heck of a NHL player, a true man, and the ceiling is still who knows how high for this guy. Alex Tuch, as well as he performed last year, I do expect much bigger and much better things from him. And he also bounced around lines a lot out there, too. If he does get on a line that he's comfortable with and that is producing and stays with the same guys all season long, you might see some pretty impressive numbers from Alex Tuch this coming season.
And I think the offensive instincts is something that they expected. I guess hands are probably a little better and a little softer than everyone had thought, which is great. Well, the good question for me with Alex Tuch will be is how he blends in defensively going forward. And you think about the struggles of the second line prior, and Alex Tuch, that's one of the parts of his game that we want to see him grow. And we saw him get a little bit meaner and a little bit tougher and a little bit more hard-hitting as the season went on. And I guess it's, for him, it's going to be defining what kind of player he is defensively, because I think the offense is certainly on the upswing.
With Alex Tuch, I think defensively, he just needs to not get beat. And that's something that's really difficult for a young player that's looked upon to kind of take the next step offensively to do. However, if you end up pairing him with a guy like Paul Stastny, who is very good defensively, who can kind of take Alex Tuch under his wing and say, these are the areas you need to to pay particular attention to. This is where you don't get beat. This is what you do in this situation. I will have the center of the ice taken care of. Don't get beat to the middle of the ice and you're fine. I think once Paul Stastny has the ability and the chance to really take Alex Tuch under his wing, you're going to see an uptick in what Alex Tuch can do. But that's part of why you pair some you know, good skating, risk-taking defensemen with more stay-at-home type guys on your back end, because you let people make mistakes, but they have to learn from him. Alex Tuch is going to get better defensively. What he really needs to do is finish this season. He's got to get to those dirty areas. He's got to get to those scoring chance areas. But when he gets there, he has to finish. He has to realize he's got more time than I think he realized he had last year, and he's got to make the most of those opportunities.
And I think you touched on something important too, Clayton, and we talked about it again all during last season. We talked about it this offseason as well. Alex Tuch is one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet. And when he smiles, it lights up the entire room. He had a fight last year, but he was smiling and laughing during the fight and said, yeah, I got my first NHL fight in or whatever. They basically looked at each other and said, hey, you had enough? Yeah, me too. Yeah, let's go now and sit in the penalty box for a little bit. They didn't feel shame. They actually felt a little exuberation or something. I would like to see him get a little bit meaner on the ice out there. We saw some of that in the playoffs here and there where he was sticking up for teammates. And not that he ever – I'm not calling him soft or anything like that, because he's certainly not. But if he gets that mean streak and he realizes just how big and strong he is, he can be an absolute beast.
He certainly can. And one of the things is to touch on what Ryan said, I think, about Alex Tuch in trying not to get beat and figuring out ways to recover and use his skating ability and not take bad penalties. We saw him a couple of times during the year maybe take a bad penalty. That's something you certainly want to scale back, figure out how to use your feet to recover. And if he can figure out how to do that, then the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and I think it's effort and understanding that you have to skate even harder on the back check than you are when you're trying to go on a 2-on-1, 3-on-2 and create scoring chances. And that will come with a young player adjusting to life in the NHL. But these comments from his general manager should be a huge vote of confidence for him going into the season, because they view Alex Tuch as a top six forward. Whether or not he is remains to be seen, but it's now ball strictly in Alex Tuch's court to make that happen.
And it is interesting, too, because he is a young player. He got a lot of playing time last year, a lot more experience. But if he is paired with Stastny and Tomas Tatar, which most people think will probably be the case, that could be interesting as well. And I know some people around town think that maybe Tatar was one mistake McPhee made. Maybe he didn't live up to expectations. Well, this is what George McPhee said about Mr. Tatar.
We believe Tatar will really play well for us next year once he gets comfortable. He had a tough year. He had a shoulder surgery last summer, and it affected his summer and affected his season. He wants to come back and be that 20 to 25 goal guy for us. So we think we have enough ammunition in-house to be a very good team.
I think they have enough ammunition to be a very good team as well. And it's interesting because we didn't hear people talking about the shoulder injury and the off summer and that kind of stuff, kind of putting him up against it a little bit. Everybody's saying, well, he hasn't fit in yet. He hasn't found his groove. It sounds like George McPhee is kind of giving him a mulligan for last season and going, look, when you guys see what this guy is capable of, and I know a lot of real hockey fans, including myself, I think all of us are on the same page on this one, are excited to see what Tatar can do now that he is more comfortable, he's on the team, and once they find a place for him, make no mistake about it, this guy's a quality hockey player.
I mean, he's a guy that's got high-end skill, and the one thing that he doesn't do particularly well is get in on the forecheck and make life difficult for the opposition defense. You know who does that really well? Alex Tuch. And if you pair Tatar with Tuch, a guy that is a beast on the forecheck, you're not necessarily relying on Tomas Tatar to create opportunities and turnovers in the offensive zone. You let Alex Tuch do that. And if Alex Tuch can find Paul Stastny, and Stastny with his playmaking abilities can find Tatar in the right spaces, that has the opportunity to be a very, very good, well-executed line.
And when you think about the year that he had, he said going back to the shoulder surgery, put his whole summer training off, and then Detroit was an absolute disaster last year, coming to a new team, trying to fit in and out. But we've talked to a lot of guys that, you know, follow this team every day. I remember talking with Brad May, and Brad May, very high on Tatar, saying this guy could knock on 30 goals. And you think about players, oftentimes they don't just fall off the planet. They play to the back of their baseball card, and you would expect that Tatar would get back to the same numbers that he's had earlier in his career.
Yeah, and Tatar himself, he did talk about it. Last year, he said he was holding the stick tight. He wasn't relaxed. He should be more relaxed this year. And with a guy like Stasny setting him up, and then Tuck on the other side, he learns how to finish. Tatar feels comfortable again. The second line could be pretty darn good.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, with Tatar, you come into a new situation, and then you don't have any consistency whatsoever. I don't think he played two games in a row with the same line mates at any point in time. So you give him a little bit of consistency. You give him some line mates that kind of play to his strengths as a player. And you never know, with a good season, a good summer of training, he could be a very effective player for the Golden Knights.
And that's going to be one of the fun things to watch in training camp is, what do you do with those four players? How are they used during practice when you think about Haula, Tatar, Stasny, and Tuck? And where do they all fit in? And what opportunities does Gerard Gallant give them, not just in practice, but in the preseason lines and games that they play?
Yeah, so that'll be interesting, a lot to watch. Well, certainly, if we're excited about the second line on its potential next year, the first line is locked in place. Hopefully, they're going to be around for a long, long time. William Karlsson, he signs his contract. He's all smiles right now, but not exactly the long term or something. He will be a restricted free agent again next year, so we might be going through this again. Maybe we won't. If you heard George McPhee, well, maybe we won't have to, because his play on the ice will determine what's going to happen next year. If you missed it during the interview, here's George McPhee talking about Karlsson and what they expect of him.
If he's a consistent 40-goal scorer, we'll pay it. If he's a 50-goal scorer, we'll pay it. If he's less than that, we'll pay it. So given that there's no history of this, we only have 1 year, we have to be a little bit careful. And the good news is he's willing to bet on himself as well. And we like that the players have that kind of confidence in themselves. We did offer longer-term deals, much longer-term. And he just wanted to another year to see if he could do this again. And if he does, obviously, it's a bigger payday.
And, you know, we got the sense all last season that William Karlsson was a guy that would like to bet on himself. Let's face it, when Shipachyov didn't work out, they didn't know what they were going to do there. Karlsson came in, had a breakout season, had 6 goals the entire last season before. He had 4 shorthanded goals alone last year. Nobody saw 43 goals. But if he can do that consistently, to me it sounded like George McPhee said, okay, we avoided arbitration. We gave you a little bit more than half of arbitration would have been, so Carlson's happy with it. The Golden Knights are happy with it. Now the ball's in your court, or the puck on your end of the ice, whatever cliche you want to use. Now it's time to put up, or we'll see. You're going to determine your next contract.
And the encouraging thing for those who want to see William Karlsson here for a long time is, I think conventionally a lot of people said at the very beginning, oh, well, it's a one-year deal. He's going to be a restricted free agent next year. We're absolutely going to go through this next year. Not necessarily true, because George McPhee did say they offered long-term. It just didn't quite work out. So they're willing to go the extension route. They're willing to do a long-term deal or during the season. We've seen George McPhee be able to pull contracts off in the middle of the season. So this first part of the season, the first 3 months, is going to do a lot to determine whether or not William Karlsson can sign that extension in the spring.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to put yourself in a situation, if you're George McPhee, where prior to signing William Karlsson long-term, you want to be sure of what it is you're getting. I think we're pretty sure of what William Karlsson is. I don't think he's a 43 goal scorer every single year for the rest of his career. What I do think is he's a very, very good 1C that's probably going to be in the ballpark of 28 to capping out around 35 goals and somewhere in the vicinity of 75 points, which is very good when you consider he plays on the penalty kill, he plays on the power play, and he's one of your best defensive forwards and should challenge for a Selke at some point in the next couple of years. So by numbers from comparable players, you're looking at about a $7.5-8 million guy.
And
but,
you know,
I'm sorry, but if you're George McPhee, if that's not the case, but you commit that to him right now, you look like a fool. So it's fine to take a year and get some clarity if you're looking for clarity. But if you're looking to hold him to these numbers that he hit under ideal circumstances in a perfect storm of a season, if William Karlsson scores 39 goals, but he doesn't hit 40 and you don't view him as a consistent 40-goal scorer, that might be a problem.
And we'll see how that plays out. You mentioned he's willing to make deals during the season, whether it's a trade or extending a contract or something. Here's what George had to say about that.
before we do anything. I like having the team in front of me. I'd rather do deals in season than in the summer, just to see exactly what ingredients we might have to add, if any.
And I think that's interesting, too, because he says it's like, you know what? We don't need to make a move right now. Eric Carlson, anybody else, any splash right now, he kind of likes what he's doing. He's sitting back. He's going to play the hand that's dealt to him. And if he needs something else, well, then we'll see what happens. But let's see what transpires and see how everything does work out on the ice.
And George is very good about taking these opportunities with media to kind of, I don't want to say send messages, but just to say things that other GMs might not necessarily want to hear. And when George McPhee says, I'm fine doing something in season, that's got to scare Pierre Dorion. If there is, they're having talks and there's conversations and things are on the table and you're Pierre Dorion and you're panicking to get Erik Karlsson out of the team, that might be something that causes you a little bit of concern and maybe forces your hand a little bit.
And I like that about George McPhee said willing to do things in season. So many general managers seem like they're incapable of doing more than one thing at a time. And when the season starts, they just want to lock up all of their offer sheets and just think about the trade deadline is the only thing they can think of. But George McPhee uses all of his options, and I love that about him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if I was Pierre Dorion, the thing that would scare me the most every day is walking up to my desk and seeing if there's a pink slip on it or not. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk about some of the younger players that will be here at the Rookie Face-Off, wrapping it up here. Face-Off, that would be a Rookie Face-Off series coming up. Wrapping it up here on a Wednesday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio.
It's our job in management to make sure we develop players properly and to make sure they succeed. And you don't ever want anyone to fail because you rush them.
That is George McPhee coming back, talking about the young players. And again, we have the Rookie Faceoff coming up here September 8th, 9th, and 11th. They'll be off that Monday. And the games on the 11th, that Tuesday, actually a little bit earlier than the games on the weekend. But a good chance to see not only some of the rookies and young players for the Vegas Golden Knights, but the other teams involved here as well. And George McPhee addressing the question about younger players, and he believes it's better to keep them in the minors longer because you can't be overdeveloped, but you can be underdeveloped and not ready for the league.
Yeah, I just think it'll be fun, not just to see the guys, Cody Glass and Nick Suzuki and Eric Brainstrom, the guys that you think about that are the top, you know, guys coming in, but so many teams are made up of the second tier players or the players that didn't come on with such hype. And you think about somebody like a Jake Lecision or like a, you know, Corcoran and Bouchard, you know, their defensemen in the fifth, sixth round. Those are the kind of guys that are probably going to end up having nice long careers. And I'm anxious to see those guys in game action.
I am too. But I mean, I've made no bones about it. I think Eric Brandstrom is one of those dynamic and fun and exciting players that any chance you get the opportunity to see what he does, what he can do, what he could bring to the table is an opportunity you don't want to pass up. I get it. I know that I'm beating a dead horse here, but I like Eric Brandstrom a lot. I think he's a really good hockey player.
Well, and you know, as much fun as it is when we watch the development camp and you see Brandstrom and Suzuki going at it and having a little bit of fun on the ice as well, I'm sure that they're all looking forward to getting a chance to play together, because remember, these guys didn't all play on the same teams in the minors in that last year, the teams they were at, but also to play somebody in that other uniform and really start that hatred for the other division opponents before you're even at the T-Mobile.
I just think Nick Suzuki and Cody Glass are just going to be happy to play together, because they always seem to be on opposite ends when it comes to drills and when it comes to these development camps.
Maybe that's the missing piece. Maybe it's a Glass-Suzuki train that just can't be stopped. It'll be fun. I don't know. I'm excited. I can't wait. But then again, I'm all hockey all the time. So
plus, it's going to be fun seeing Hagan and Brandstrom out there together, because it's going to be watching like a center and the point guard on the ice at the same time.
And if you're the Anaheim Ducks and you got all the young kids out there, do you go with the eggplant old school Mighty Duck uniform?
They couldn't even do it when they were supposed to this year for the throwback. So no, probably not.
Yeah, well, Mighty Ducks. Not too mighty, are they? All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. TC Martin's up next. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Have a great week. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio.